in just a few minutes, but if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to that scripture and hold it there. You know, folks aren't thinking a whole lot. It doesn't seem like folks are thinking a whole lot these days about their eternal destiny, where their souls will be when they leave this earth. But they sure are getting a lot better educated about their physical bodies here on this earth. And what I'm speaking about is getting better educated with regarding to our diet and nutrition. In fact, diet and nutrition are two of the hottest topics around, and they're the source of billions of dollars of industries, and lots of money is made in that area. We're gaining lots of new insights to the old saying. You know this saying. The old saying is, you are what you eat. And what we take into our bodies, we know this is true. What we take into our bodies does affect how we think and how we feel and how we live. And just as a host of physical problems and physical issues can be cured and treated by a change of diet, and we know that it can, many things can be accomplished in our lives as Christians if, as Christians, we follow a radical change of diet in a spiritual sense. You see what I'm doing here today? I'm looking at the physical and the spiritual with the soul food issue. So when we speak spiritually, we can also say, spiritually speaking, you are what you eat. That is true in the spiritual realm. The problem is that there are many believers in a state of denial about the real cause of problems they're having in their lives because they don't understand they need a spiritual change of diet, so to speak. Some folks, in fact, are in a mental and spiritual stage of toxic shock, what I would call toxic shock, but because of their spiritual eating habits or their lack of spiritual eating habits. And that leads us to the first point this morning, and that's spiritual malnutrition. It's very possible to be a Christian, be born again in a spiritual sense, but at the same time to be sick and to be weak due to spiritual malnutrition. In one of my favorite books, in Laura Hildenbrand's classic, Unbroken, many of you have read that. It's a great read. I encourage you to do it because it's a story of a man, Ernie Zamperini, that was an Olympic sprinter and went into World War II and came back and eventually gave his heart to Jesus, was saved at a Billy Graham crusade, and was an incredible spokesperson for the gospel the last years of his life. Well, in the book Unbroken, the true story of him, the main character, Louis Zamperini, survived an incredible 47 days in a life raft in the Pacific. And just when he thinks he's being finally rescued, he realizes he's being rescued by a Japanese ship. And he's taken in to become a prisoner of war, and he's held a prisoner of war for months with others in that same location. In the life raft and as a prisoner of war, Zamperini and his fellow prisoners became malnourished to the point of death. You can see Louis Zamperini on the far left there, dark-haired guy on the far left. Can you imagine? That picture was taken upon their rescue from a Japanese concentration camp. That is malnourishment, isn't it? That is physical malnourishment. And we know that in this condition, as you see these men, physically malnourished, they have no strength, they have no stamina, they have no energy, and they live every day close to death. Spiritual malnutrition also leads to weakness. And in that weakness, what we'll often see is fear and worry and depression and anxiety and uncertainty and a feeling that our life just doesn't matter. And all of that comes because often folks are suffering from spiritual malnutrition. It's no wonder so many Christians seem to be living such joyless, semi-depressed, unfruitful lives because they're malnourished spiritually. How can we fight the good fight? How can we stand strong against our enemy, Satan? How can we stand strong against all the challenges of a fallen world full of sin and evil? How can we do any of that if our spiritual vital signs are precariously low? How can a church make a positive impact on a community when it can't even get its own members to come together and to pray together? One of the keys to the church and the people that God blesses is that we must understand and follow the directions that God Himself has given us regarding maintaining our spiritual diets and our spiritual vitality. And that leads us to the scripture text. It's one of many texts throughout the Bible that deal with our spirituality and being healthy, fed spiritually, and being spiritually healthy in our diet, so to speak. Look at those words with me in Isaiah 55, 1 through 2. Ho, it says, I like that. It just starts off with that ho. Ho, that's like, hey, everybody, look, pay attention. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Are you listening today? Listen, the Bible's telling us, listen carefully to me. Eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. What an incredible word from God. How can we be anything other than what we eat? Spiritually and physically, we know that's true. For example, if we only eat food full of fats and sugars and processed starches and way too many carbs, then we become unhealthy, don't we? And we're prone to disease, like heart disease and diabetes, and our healthy vigor is gone, it's diminished. We feel listless, and we feel like we don't have any energy. Our diet can do that to us. With this diet, we remove ourselves from healthy vitality. This diet of stuff that we love, like sugar and fat and starches and carbs, we have that in our diet. We take that mostly every day, and our strength and our energy can be so weakened by that diet, as opposed to a diet of eating lots of fresh vegetables and fresh fruit and lean meat and staying away from fried foods, the stuff we like to eat a lot, and fat, sugar, and starches that make up the majority of the food that's out there for us today. Again, how can we be anything different than what we eat spiritually speaking? In a spiritual sense, how can God's grace and power and Holy Spirit work in us when we cut ourselves off from the very food that He's prepared for our souls? We must have some spiritual soul food. Food spiritually that fills and strengthens and blesses our souls. Now from a regular dietary perspective, when you talk about soul food, there's a dictionary that tells us the definition of what soul food is in a dietary perspective. I like this description. It says, soul food is basic down-home cooking with its roots in the South. Food like collard greens. Now, some of you are probably pausing around and saying, wait a minute, collard greens? Sherry and I moved to Alabama years ago, and our next-door neighbor, Hester Snow, brought us some collard greens. They'd been cooked with a little ham bone and ham in there. I'm telling you, they were delicious. We ate that whole dish of collard greens. They're great when you cook them right. Collard greens, black-eyed peas, cornbread, fried chicken, white cream gravy with the little speckledy doodads in it, you know, and buttered biscuits. All of those represent what is the definition of soul food. I know it's getting close to noon and you're thinking about that food right now. But in a spiritual perspective, the Bible is our spiritual soul food. The Bible is. It's the basic down-home fundamentals, so to speak, of God's Word. And it feeds our souls. It feeds our souls with the truth of who Jesus is. It feeds our souls, reminding us of how much God loves us and His promises for us in this life and in the life to come. We must have that soul food, or we become just like those prisoners of war in that image we saw earlier, spiritually malnourished and weak and lacking strength. Even the scripture text we read in Isaiah warns us. It says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. You know, it asks the question, why are you spending all your money and time on all this junk that doesn't really benefit you? It says, listen carefully to me, eat what is good and let your soul delight in abundance. God's given us an abundance through His Word, through the ministry of His Holy Spirit, and so many other ways. Our soul should be delighting in those things that God gives us. Statistics show that less than one-third of church-going Christians read their Bible at least once a week. That's just once a week. Less than a third of church-going Christians read their Bible less than once a week. No wonder they're so weak. No wonder so many Christians are easy prey for the enemy to bring discouragement and doubt and misery and uncertainty. The practice of private prayer and then coming together as a group of believers and praying together, it's dropped to an all-time low in our nation today, the practice of prayer. No wonder congregations, so many of them across the nation in different parts of the world, are barely surviving. And we no longer see a bold and powerful witness for Jesus Christ under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of folks that are spiritually alive. Oh, they're spiritually still alive, but they're almost in a comatose state, if you understand what I'm saying, from a spiritual perspective. God clearly promises us in Psalm 107 and verse 9, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. What a great promise that is. It's a promise of God's blessings. How can we experience the blessings of God if we never sit down at the table that He's prepared for us and partake of the meal that He has for us, spiritually speaking? You know, in the natural, going back to just real food for a minute, in the natural, all of us have a certain meal that just delights us, that we just love. And it's a delicious meal, that one of our favorite meals, for example. For me, I think I have many favorite meals, but one of my favorite meals is to get a great big steamed lobster and have some hot butter right there in the dish that's been melted. And you start taking that lobster tail and cutting it up and dipping it in that butter. And then along with that lobster, with that butter, a big, thick, juicy steak, a filet. I love filets, and they're just thick and juicy. And you know, a steak and lobster dinner, that's just a wonderful meal. It's very satisfying for me. But God's Word, the Bible, is available to provide a very satisfying spiritual meal and full of food for our souls that we need. But what happens when our inner man has no interest in the Bible? What happens when our inner man has no interest in that spiritual steak and lobster meal that the Lord has for us, and we don't seemingly have any interest in it at all? What happens is that we become unsatisfied, we become unfulfilled people, we become people full of anxiety and depression and general unhappiness, because we're not partaking of the meal that the Lord has for us. Our spiritual man can only be nourished when we sit down at God's table. We partake of His Word or receive the refreshing that comes from His Holy Spirit. We need that soul food in our souls so badly. That leads to the next point. Little praise and much complaining. When we have very poor spiritual diets as Christians, a lack of spiritual well-being naturally follows that. It makes sense, doesn't it? In the physical sense, if we have a poor diet physically, then well-being is not going to be there. We're going to have poor well-being because of our poor diet. The same is true spiritually. And that explains why so many folks seem to have so little praise in their hearts and worship in their hearts. They come into church and there's no expression of praise and worship. And along with that, there's too much whining and too much complaining and too much negativity. And it explains why we as Christians, when we're spiritually now malnourished, That we as Christians, we can get so easily bent out of shape emotionally. Now stay with me here for just a minute. When we're weak spiritually and we're malnourished spiritually, what happens is that folks can get so bent out of shape emotionally and they become angry and bitter over some of the most minute and small little events of life that shouldn't matter at all. And all of a sudden those little things are a big mountain and they upset us so much. It's a state of that being malnourished spiritually. In fact, our condition, when it's like that, it's the very opposite of grace and strength and the love that God wants for you and for me. Look at this scripture with me in Psalm 63 and 5. My soul, again, we're talking about soul food today. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow in fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. That rich soul food of the Bible, it brings about a heart full of praise, full of worship, and an attitude of gratitude and love for everybody around us. And when the little stuff happens, it doesn't mean anything because our eyes are on Jesus and we're full of His soul food in our lives. We can go through all that little junk that seemed to aggravate us so much. Just as we will rave about a delicious gourmet meal, God's people should continually be singing the praises of the one who feeds us every day with the richest of foods from His table. A church filled with individuals that are full of soul food. A church full of folks that are full of soul food is a church that God blesses. It's a church that is joyful. It's a loud church. It's a singing church. It's a praising and worshiping church. How could it be anything but that when our souls are nourished by the table of God and His food pouring into our lives? You know, the Bible tells us that we taste and see that the Lord is good. That's in Psalm 34. That we wholeheartedly, we join the praiseful singing lips in that scripture you see on the PowerPoint. And we can do that, by the way. I don't care what our personality type is. I don't care what our denominational background is. It doesn't matter. When our hearts are filled with the love of God and the power of His Holy Spirit and His Word is in us, we can't help but be a person of praise and worship. And what a shame it is that so many Christians, they get more excited about a football game or their granddaughter's soccer game or going on a cruise than they do about Jesus Christ and His promises in our lives and the Lord of heaven and all earth being our Heavenly Father. Takes us to the next point today. Good for our hearts. Heart healthy. There's lots of labels on our food today. In restaurants, you could go on the menus and grocery stores and they got these little signs, little heart signs that tells us that's as heart healthy as good for us. To receive the blessings of God and to grow to spiritual health and maturity, we need to be conscious every day that we only take into our bodies and our souls that which is heart healthy, spiritually speaking. Does that make sense? Instead of all the junk food that the devil wants to give us, there's a lot of junk food substitutes out there he wants to give us. You know, Hebrews 11 and 9 says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. And grace can come in many forms and many channels, but the truth remains the same. If we neglect such things as reading the Word of God, prayer, individual personal prayer time, praying together, worship, fellowship with other believers, attending church. When we neglect those things that God has provided for us, then problems of one kind or another will come as surely as night follows day. It'll happen every time. No one is aware of this truth, by the way, more than Satan. He loves to keep us away from things that are heart healthy from a spiritual standpoint. His strategy is to cut us off from God's spiritual food supply. That's what he really wants to do. Bible and prayer and fellowship with one another. He uses distractions, Satan does. He uses discouragements. He uses time demands. It's as if Satan is giving us, like I said earlier, the junk food substitutes to keep us from receiving the daily nutrition that our hearts need from God. He'll keep us too busy. He'll keep us too tired. He'll keep us too committed, too discouraged, too anything. Only if he can do one thing, and that's to keep us from fellowship with the Lord regarding his word and being fed the soul food that we need. So we look at this last point here today, come and get it. Come and get it. In the late 1950s and in the early 1960s, there was an ABC television program starring Walter Brennan. It was called The Real McCoys. Do y'all remember that show? The Real McCoys. As a little boy growing up, I loved that show. I loved to watch it. Every episode of The Real McCoys started when Kate, back there on the back, standing next to Luke, that's Luke's wife, every episode would begin with Kate walking out on the front porch, and there was an old-fashioned triangle dinner bell out there. And she'd start ringing that triangle dinner bell, and she'd say, come and get it. She'd holler it out real loud, and all the family would come running up to the house, and they would come and have a great meal. Now, how about this couple here? You remember those folks, don't you? Now, Sherry and I love those old Ma and Pa Kettle movies. They're a lot of fun to watch. You know, Ma and Pa Kettle, in those stories, they had 15 children. And Ma would be in the kitchen, and she'd be fixing the meal. And this big long table in the kitchen. And just as she finished the last victuals that she was cooking, she would yell out only as Ma could yell out, come and get it! And all of a sudden, all those 15 kids would stampede that kitchen. It's like they're fighting for a place at the table. They couldn't wait to come and get it, so to speak. And nobody, by the way, had to complete the sentence because everybody knew what it was, didn't they? It was supper or dinner, whatever the occasion might have been. So I'll just remind us all today, somebody else is calling us. It's not Ma and Pa Kettle, and it's not the Real McCoys. It's Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, he's calling us. He's saying to you and me, come and get it. It's all free. It's waiting for us because of his great love for you and for me. And those who eat daily of God's word and drink daily of the Holy Spirit, they'll experience this truth that King David wrote about centuries ago when he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. The poor will eat and be satisfied. In our scripture text we read earlier, the Lord urgently calls. He calls everyone who thirsts to come to the waters. And you will have no money. You need to come, buy, and eat because it's all free. The Lord's blessing us with this. And he pleads with each of us to let our hearts reach out and to take action so that our souls will be satisfied, that we won't be malnourished. And the Lord is telling us this morning that our miseries, sometimes our unhappiness, is due to the fact that we're living on junk food. We're living on the wrong stuff. We're living on the junk food of worldly entertainment. We're living on the junk food of just living for ourselves. We're living on the junk food of busyness or even good works. And the Lord is asking this morning, why live on junk food when it leaves you empty and unfulfilled? So he's calling us. He's inviting us to that place of blessing and refreshing that we don't have to spiritually starve and shrivel up like those men in that photo. He's provided all that we need. The river is flowing. The water is plentiful. The table has been set by the Lord for all of us. So I conclude today by asking, are you hungry? Are you hungry? If you're listening, he's calling. Oh, he's calling every one of us here today. He's calling and he's saying, the best soul food, the best soul food is available. Come and get it. Oh, he's saying, come and get it. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you. I praise you for that table that you set before us. But your blessings, by your desire to fill us with the spiritual food that encourages us and blesses us and strengthens us and excites us and enables us to live each day full of faith and hope, to live above the junk of this world, to live full of that sense that God is in our lives and your hand is upon us and you're leading and guiding us and your care is there for every detail that we're worried or concerned about. Oh, Father, let us not be malnourished spiritually, but let us sit at your table daily receiving your soul food, your plan to strengthen us each day as we partake of your word, as we come into your presence, as we allow the ministry of your Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us. Help us, Lord, those of us that have been so busy that we didn't take time to partake at your table. Help us that have been so out of shape spiritually that need to come back and be strengthened and again be affirmed by your hand upon us. Father, I pray that by the Holy Spirit that we will all resolve to sit at your table daily and partake of that food, soul food, for us in this life and forevermore. In Jesus' name, we thank you for all the promises and the blessings in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't need